on digital radio, on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast, football in general.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Williams drifting, sprinting for space, in all kinds of trouble, put it up for grabs in the end zone. He got it for the touchdown. They've done it again.
Welcome to the Sportscast, January 19th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also follow us on X and Instagram at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. That clip was one of the best plays of ever in NFL history, playoff history, where Cameron Williams had a scramble, had to go back 10 yards, and then threw the ball. And Cole Kmet touched with a touchdown. Brett Blair, was that the best play you've ever seen?
Not that I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of plays in my day. It was incredible. It was utterly ridiculous. Like, Caleb Williams continues to prove that at the end of the game, in the last four minutes of the fourth quarter, he can do anything. And the throw he had 2 weeks ago was better than this one. He had no feet on the ground. He literally threw the ball with no feet on the ground and still threw it 35 yards, like, with, again, floating in the air just with his arm strength alone. So this type of throw wasn't 10 yards. He was literally pushed back 20 yards from the line of scrimmage. Incredible play. A little bit of a push-off. Like, if they look off at Cole Kmet, like he did have, but that's beautiful. This is why we watch football. This is the exact reason why we love the NFL so much, why it kills us, and why we're sitting on top of the world, depending on whether your team's humming along or not, my friend.
And why we're here. I would say two out of the two games were good. The other two ones were blowouts. But, of course, we could always hike them and everything else. Let's get into the top story of this morning. I kind of didn't see this coming. I should not be surprised, but it was coming. Buffalo Bills fired the head coach, Sean McDermott, after NFL's playoff loss to the Denver Broncos. Brett McDermott, I believe he's 8-8 in the playoffs, 8 wins, 8 L's. But was this necessary? Was it time to move on? Maybe that next coach will take, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills to the next level.
Yes, on many levels. Like, the whole thing was, we can't get past Mahomes. That was what it was. Josh Allen can never win a Super Bowl if he could just go, if he could just get past, okay, Mahomes, he would somehow be there. Mahomes wasn't there this year. What happened? But that's not really, I mean, I don't even blame the coach as much as the GMs. That is not a good team. Like, obviously, you know how much I like James Cook. The man is a monster. He's a great running back, and they're able to utilize some of the running game. But they have pieces on both sides of the football that are just mediocre at best. So it's as much of a 52-man roster situation as much as it is in a where are you backing? Allen can only do so much. He is Superman. He is the dude. Other than Caleb looking good now, he is the guy I want with the ball with 2 minutes left in the game. I'll take Josh Allen over anybody in the NFL. But you got to give him some help. And I can't blame him. He didn't lose the game. The team lost the game. Obviously, he did not play at a level that he usually does. He had some pick. He had a couple of interceptions there, which is very, very, you know, unlike Josh Allen. But still, you know, the team lost, but the team surrounding him is not that good. It's not that good. Now that becomes the most lucrative or the most prized. It goes from going on the market today as the Bills. That now supersedes every other team other than Harbaugh signing with the Giants. Other than that, now you have, Orchard Park, New York, where they're looking for a head coach. That becomes the most prized possession of the new 8 teams that still need a coach this year, which is crazy too. A crazy number of 8 in 1 year is a lot. is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, which I want to stick with that, actually. Now that Harbaugh is with the New York Giants officially, actually, there was a lot of news during these playoff games, and one of them was John Harbaugh getting hired. Kevin Stefanski got hired by Atlanta. What's left, Brett, is a bunch of assistant coaches, pretty much, to take on these big roles. And the biggest spot, I would say, is the Buffalo Bills. Do you agree?
100%. I would say those you hit down the head. That becomes the most prized out of any of the opening positions. Obviously, I think Stefanski in Atlanta is an incredible fit. They have pieces there. He's the type of coach that can put together. I'd like to see what he does with the team in the next 3 years. The assistant coaches, it's weird. You know, there's no real prize other than I told you Flores was highly doubted. I wanted him as our defensive coordinator.
He's been interviewed for head coaches a lot in a whole lot of places right now.
He told him, he put out a statement a few days ago. I don't care about a job title.
Wow.
I'm sticking with my guys. Correct. He literally said a statement. What I believe it was. I don't care about job titles. I care about finishing the job. So the way that defense looked at the end of the year, if they can put something together, obviously you've got Jefferson on the other side. You know, obviously we're off on Minnesota now, but still, there's a lot of crazy, crazy things going on in the NFL between the playoffs that going off as they did, as all of these coaches and this coaching shuffle that's going on. It'll continue to play itself out, you know, over the next week or two and going in. Actually, some positions I don't see being filled, you know, for the next month. You know, them actually seeing who would be the right fit. Obviously, Dallas needs a new defensive coordinator. I'm hoping they pull somebody that the team can buy into the system, you know, and really change our defense around. Because that was, again, we're talking about coaches, assistant coach. I'm not positive, but I believe there's 8 or 9 assistant coaching positions that are open now, too, because of
there is, including the Kansas City Chiefs. As a coordinator, which he got requested by Kansas Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy, who was the offensive coordinator about 4 years, I think from 2018 to 2022, went to college after that, I think Arizona State or Arizona University, then going back to Chicago Bears as the running RB coach for the Bears, which they got eliminated last night. Chiefs requested that interview this morning. Because their offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, he's getting interviewed in a few spots. So what are your thoughts about Eric Bieniemy returning to the Chiefs, which I heard Patrick Mahomes likes him. They were good under Eric Bieniemy as offensive coordinator.
Correct. It's funny you were saying the places he's been. I remember Eric Bieniemy playing at University of Colorado, okay, coming out as a player. And a running back. He was a beast for a few years. He didn't put together a long career, but he knew that it would translate into coaching. He has done nothing but great things at every spot he's been in, keeps continuing to move around. But it's funny is I don't know if any draft picks would be in order because, again, there's a big difference between, you know, signing a coach at the end of his contract as opposed to trying to pull a coach over like Sean Payton with the Denver Broncos, where they actually gave up number one draft picks from the Saints in order to be able to get him as the head coach. So I'm sure that'll all factor in. Or do we want any compensation? You know what? Again, there's a lot of things to play out, but Eric Bieniemy as a whole is a winner and is a great, great, whether he's just running with the running backs or whether he's running the whole offense, which again meshes perfectly with Mahomes, as you said. I love it. I'm a big thing. I don't know why I think Kelce is going to stay around for a year going off on a tangent.
If Eric Bieniemy is coming back, I bet Kelce's going to think about it twice.
There you go. But also Mahomes is coming off a big injury. You want to help your guy.
He's expected to come back week one, week two, but, you know.
Well, but that's the thing is, do you do that with a security blanket like Travis Kelce or is the game passed him by? We know he's a step slow. We know that he can't get open like he used to get open, but he's still a security blanket. He's still, now you get Bieniemy, you got Mahomes coming.
You put some packages for Kelce, you know.
There you go. There you go. I mean, I love that move. I love that move.
Yeah, quite something. Former Cowboys quarterback Ben DiNucci is signed with the Broncos after the season ending to Bo Nix and the AFC playoffs win over the Bills. The Cowboys are still making noise in the news.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wish it was good news, but I mean, DiNucci was like a seventh round pick like 2 years ago, so I never saw him. I mean, we had Trey Lance in the meantime, and he never saw the field. So DiNucci was never seeing the field either, and that's a blessing. I mean, your quarterback is playing well, but I mean, if you're going, if we're talking about the Broncos, are we going into that with the Bo Nix injury? Because you know that would be something I want to touch on as far as
things. Yeah, well, yeah, we'll for sure get into the recap, talk about Jared Stidham and all that stuff, because I know Brett knows about how much rapport or how much playing time you're getting. You know, one thing's Phillip Rivers
With the number ones, exactly. Right? With the number ones, how many reps do you get with the number ones? You're right. That's what it comes down to. But please lead the way. Tell me where we're going.
Okay. Also, before we go, you did bring it up. You said something about that is not all Josh Allen or McDermott. The Bills do retain their general manager Bean. I think it's Brandon Bean. As the general manager, they're doing the same thing as what the New York Giants did. Do you think it's a good idea, or you think the GM has some ownership going on with, you know, like of why they're not, you know, in the Super Bowl?
Right. I would come down to me, who's been instrumental in putting the pieces together, other than the few pieces.
Who's picking out the ingredients?
If I'm going to be doing the cooking, that was the tuna. That was I used to say that. He was like, if I'm coaching them, if I'm cooking the dinner, I want to know about the ingredients and I want to handle the ingredients. And usually that's where you have a big problem. That's what Jimmy Johnson had with Jerry Jones. You know, that's what the tuna had with everywhere he went. But if he's responsible for the past 3 or 4 years putting some of these drafts in place, I would think it's time to move on.
Because one thing they were lacking was wide receivers. 100%. Right, Brett?
Yeah, what was Khalil Shakur. No, Khalil Shakur is a cute. He's literally a cute little receiver. You know, he's that Wes Welker type. Will get you the 10 yards. Will get you the 15 yards. They had a couple other pieces that they tried as far as long bringing the long game, and they had nobody. They literally had nobody. If you can't stretch the field and make Josh Allen even more dangerous. Because now you're stretching the field and the defense is stretched, then what you need somebody to take the top off the defense is what that's called. Somebody that can go deep and keep them honest. And, you know, if you're putting these ingredients in place and you're expecting to win a Super Bowl, it ain't happening. They got beat here. If not, they were not going to the Super Bowl. They were not deep enough, and they did not have enough talent at other positions other than quarterback, running back, and offensive lineman, and one or two pieces on defense. You need a lot more. Bosa played.
Joey Bosa was a key pickup last year. That helped.
But. Right. But he didn't do anything in this game. And that was big. He played. I thought Bosa would make an impact. Bosa did nothing. He had, I believe, one pressure. So, you know, that's the type of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's a huge investment that you have in that team that you brought over to be that edge rusher. So it's something every team needs. Every great team in the NFL, they have huge edge rushers right now that will tear the quarterback's head off if they can get around the corner. So without that in today's defense, putting pressure on the quarterback, they don't have that. They don't have receivers. They don't have the offensive. They need help in so many positions that it's difficult to lay blame on one person. But that being said, I do lay it at the feet of Bean. You know, let him stand up and make something happen. Keep him for another year, I guess. I would get rid of him with the coach as well and bring in completely fresh blood and start that. You know, you have he's it's not like he has a window. Josh Allen has another 4 or 5 great years ahead of him.
Very young
if
player.
If they can sign him, Cook is not even 30 yet. Cook, if they sign him, will be there a long time. But you got to put a lot of other pieces
Cook
around that.
Good. He had a good game.
Yeah. Well, he led the NFL in rushing this year. So, obviously, they're doing something right there.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just you can't have everything, right, with the NFL. There's so many pieces, revolving pieces you got to fill. And then, oh, crap, we don't have that wide receiver. Or we don't have, you know, because you need 2 good wide receivers. Let's stick with the GM, head coach, John Harbaugh. Took about 2 days to get that contract straightened out. How much was it saying, hey, I want more say of what players I want in the draft? What say for free agency, because he's dealing with Joe Shane as the GM, as the New York Giants. But how much say was it going back and forth of, like, how much authority Harbaugh gets and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure when push comes to shove, if the contract isn't signed immediately, you know, obviously they're discussing, they're negotiating, they're figuring out. I'm sure he wanted a certain type of say. I'm sure he wanted a certain amount of power to have the ingredients.
No GM in the Ravens, by the way.
Correct. Since Ozzie Newsome left, I don't think they even had a GM. They just ran it that way. But that's not the way it is these days. Like I believe that team coming back next year, the Giant team, is like really good. Scottabu with Knicks, Malik Neighbors. They got a few pieces on defense, Burns and Abdullah. Like they are going to turn out to be. I'm telling you, next year, you know, I hate the Giants, but next year with Harbaugh coming in with them, I can see them having an immediate because he now steps up everybody's game that much more. So I would see them have an immediate change in culture, and I'm sure that had a lot to do with it as well. What administrative powers? What powers for free agency? What powers for the draft coming up? What are we doing? Where are we going? Let's get on the same page.
Pick number five was really, really, really pivotal.
Yeah, they continue to have bad years, so they obviously get really high draft picks. But I mean, with the pieces that are coming out, because they have their quarterback, this is a very, very poor quarterback class. Like other than Mendoza, that's it. Yeah. There's a couple other guys.
Skip Simpson from Alabama, but I'm not sure how. I don't think he's that good.
I don't know if any of them will be utilized for a first round pack, just because there's so much defense and there's so much offensive line. This is the year you're going to see more corners. I know, you know, I was looking for you know, Reese. I wanted Reese, but he's going to go to the Giants probably at four or five. Right. Now think about you bring him into the piece with Abdullah on one side, Reese on the other, Burns in the middle.
A interesting piece of team. Okay, if John Harbaugh had the Bills and the Giants positions open for head coach, you think Harbaugh would have went for the Bills or still with the Giants?
No, I think he would have stayed with the Giants. I just think that's I don't know. I get that when you get a feeling, you get a feeling. That is a perfect fit. Obviously, we don't know the ramifications of what control he does have, what he doesn't have. That's something for them internally. We'll never know that. We can pretend that actually what we know. We don't know. We don't know who says what, but I just think that's a perfect fit for a young team to be able to come in and start a culture. Dart and Scottabu already started that little bit of we're badasses. We're coming in to kick ass and take some names.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So if and now if we can get healthy, come back with Neighbors next year. We had no Malik Neighbors.
Yeah.
He's and a then top talk, 10 and, wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, there you have it. The news. Love talking with Brett. Are you ready to recap the NFL 2026 NFL divisional weekend? And here we go. Game was in Denver, probably the first good game of the weekend. Broncos breach AFC title game after a 33 win over the Bills, but lose Bo Nix for season with ankle injury. The Denver Broncos wrangled their best win in the decade from Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills must suffer an enormous loss in the process. About an hour after second-year quarterback Bo Nix led the Broncos to a 33 win on Will Lutz's 23-yard field goal in overtime, Denver coach Sean Payton returned to the postgame lectern to deliver the stunning news.
Yeah, well, huge win. Huge, one of the biggest wins in Denver history in the last 20-something years. But it's funny, all of us, I had 20 people texting me and calling me that I did not see anything. I don't know how or what he did to break a bone. It was called a broken bone in the ankle. I don't even know. Yeah, exactly. But I didn't even know that it happened. I guess that's the play. Let me take a look at it because I never really saw.
Because he was walking afterwards.
He kept playing.
Yeah, he had one play was a thing after that. Yeah.
So I mean, the adrenaline's going. You know, an injury like that, you not feel it for a little while. He starts calming down. He takes a shower. He realizes, wow, my ankle's really
it's probably hurt. Swollen.
let's take an X-ray of this. And here's to say he had a broken bone in his ankle, a fractured bone in his ankle, which is unfortunate, just because that was such a great run for that team. But you're very familiar with the backup quarterback, just as I am. Like he's somebody who's won games, big games, actually earlier in the season for the Broncos. So I'm Jared very Stidham. Big on if you have a number. Yeah, sure. I'm very big on if you have a second, if you have a backup quarterback, playing in an NFL, you know, AFC championship game, you got a problem. Well, you got a problem if your starter is not there. Bo Nix, the man, but I love the way Statham plays. A little bit more of a drop back passer. Get Cortland Sutton into the game. You know, get Evans into the game. Get Mims. Get these guys into the game, and that's what it'll be. It'll be a little bit more of my boy, my UCF graduate in the backfield, in Harvey. You know, but I see a different type of game. But I don't say they're necessarily out of it. But that was an incredible win, which obviously turned out to be last minute heroics and led to the firing of the head coach of the
Sean McDermott, 2 days after, not the day of or the day after, 2 days on a Monday, Black Monday. Okay, let's go to Seattle. This game was a demise. It was no mercy or grace for the 49ers. Rashid Shaheed returning the opening kickoff, as you see in the video, for a touchdown. Kenneth Walker III rushed for 3 scores, and the Seattle Seahawks advanced to the NFC Championship game with a dominant 41-6 victory over the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday night. Brett, you're pretty happy about this.
Well, I mean, it was a butt whooping. I told you Friday. I told my main man that I'm sorry, you don't have what it takes to run with Seattle. Seattle is who we thought they were. Dominant front four, a back seven that can fly to the football on defense, a new Legion of Boom. What do they call it? Now I believe they're blocker
killers. Block?
That's the new one. What is the front four?
I have no idea. I gotta look that up.
Yeah, if you look at it, the front four have the little nickname for how much they're destroying, you know, the opposing five offensive linemen that are trying to block them. And offense, the only thing is they did lose Charbonnet. Like, Zach Charbonnet is going to be out for the remainder of the season. That's a huge piece, because with Walker and Charbonnet together, it really gave them that 1-2 punch. Walker's a little quicker. Charbonnet's more of their big back, and it really has worked for them well all year. Charbonnet had a ton of a ton of touchdowns this year himself, rushing touchdowns, you know, on the inside the five, so to speak. But other than that, man, Seattle is bad to the bone. Bad to the bone, especially if you got to go play in Seattle with the 12th man. That stadium is utterly ridiculous as far as the decibel levels, as far as what they do to really get behind their team. And it's a significant home field advantage. Some teams have a home field advantage, you know, obviously Lambeau and things like that. Some teams really have a home field advantage, just like New England going to New England in January. That's a huge home
and
field
Denver.
Advantage. And same, exactly right. Mile high. So, correct. Where they were sucking on, the guys were sucking on oxygen all day. They were going off the field. They were sucking on oxygen.
The whole O-line, the Bills, had oxygen tanks.
Correct. I know. Everybody on the team actually
had oxygen tanks.
Correct. They were allotted their own oxygen tank and were continuously using it. But they even used hyperbaric chambers. They got into it. They went into chambers that acclimated them to the 5,300 feet that you are up in the air playing in that stadium. Huge home field advantage, especially now in January, where it's freezing cold, where you come out and hit people on defense because Surtain and their back seven, that is probably, well, you know, their entire defense is top five, Seattle's top five. And what's the common denominator to all of it is defense wins championships. Every team
today.
That's moving in, Buffalo, no defense. You got Josh Allen, who is Superman, trying to win it, but you need a defense, and that's why, you know, Seattle, New England is what I'm looking in the Super Bowl. Seattle just looks so dominant.
He said it. We'll find out more Friday. He's doing more research on that. Let's go to New England, where Drake May threw for 3 touchdown passes in the snow and rain. Marcus Jones returned one of C.J. Stroud's 4 interceptions for a score, and the Patriots defeated the Houston Texans 28-16 on Sunday to advance the AFC Championship game for the first time in 7 years. Brett, 4 interceptions by C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to Drake May, and he did look good. This game had nothing to do with him. This game had to do with C.J. Stroud. We thought the Houston Texas defense would be a little bit more potent, would be a little bit more dominant, but home field advantage in January in New England with not only snow but the wet snow. But C.J. Stroud should have been pulled out of this game for the whole fourth quarter. He should not have played. Every throw he,
I'm adamant.
I'm very irritated about this whole thing. Every throw he had was off, whether it was too high. I believe literally he caused one of his own men to tear his lead knee ligament, stretching back for a ball that was only an 8 foot, you know, an 8 yard throw. So that was utterly ridiculous. And as a coach, if you can't see that, that's where, again, I love that Houston Texas team, what they did. And from a defensive standpoint, they're incredible. CJ Stroud just was the most unprofessional and ridiculous display. Like, he was throwing the ball anywhere. It just didn't matter. I mean, he picked six, threw another one that was picked in, back at the 5 yard line. CJ Stroud single-handedly took them out of this game. They fought and they chewed every other way, but no, CJ Stroud is literally ridiculous. Pick six right here. But he had a couple others that were just so bad, so bad. Every throw was never hitting somebody in stride. Put the ball on the man. Let him get the yards after the catch, the rack yards that we all want, run after catch. But who was that throw to? It was over his guy. I mean, all of his throws were so bad.
It was not even close. Oh my, it just utterly ridiculous. Anyways, that's what happened. We'll see what happens in the offseason. If I was to make a rise, I would pull him out. Put Mr. Davis Mills. He had a great regular season.
Went 4-0. Actually, Davis Mills started that run. A team had an 8 or 9 game winning streak going into the playoffs. They were red hot. Davis Mills started that undefeated run and was 4-0 for a period of time. So, you know, then CJ Stroud came in and started hitting his stride. But I'm seriously would back Davis Mills going into the new year. Obviously, I don't know what they do. But if you can't look at that display of a quarterback in an NFL playoff game, and that's the way he's throwing the ball as a professional, I understand the conditions were extremely rough. It was wet snow. It was extremely cold. I understand. Pull him out of the game.
That's
Get
it.
Get Davis Mills in the game. I know you agree. You'd mentioned
I would have done it by
times.
Halftime. I said, this is too much. I've seen enough. Let's go to Davis Mills. All right. Let's go to Chicago. Rams, Matt Stafford and the Rams survived an incredible throw by Caleb Williams and forced overtime, beating the Bears 20-17 on Sunday night to advance the NFC Championship game. Harrison Mevis, who came from the UFL, scored a 42-yard field goal in overtime after Cam Curl intercepted a deep pass by Williams on the Bears' first possession of extra period. Stafford glanced at his coach prior to winning the drive, then completed three passes for first downs, including a 16-yarder to Puka Nacua to get the Rams into field goal range.
Yeah. Caleb Williams did so much to get his team. With this throw, obviously, running back 20 yards from the line of scrimmage, literally 20 yards from the line of scrimmage. And
was that planned?
I was just heaving it up for – but Cole Kmet, a little bit of push off, I said, but beautiful touchdown. It's just if Caleb Williams could do this in the first quarter – the second quarter and the third quarter.
We talked about this last week.
Correct. He's an incredible comeback quarterback, but he never, instead of that, why don't you lead? I mean, they were behind in, I believe, all but one game this year. Like the whole year, they were only ahead two or three times at halftime, and they still won. They won a huge portion of these games, but you have to get off the slow starts. That's really what kills the Bears. I believe the Rams were a better team anyway. I believe the Rams, much I love Puka. He is just, I believe he's the player of the year. I really do. Like 129 catches, 1,700 yards, 14 or 15 touchdowns. The dude is a beast. I would give him the player of the year. I would give Puka Nacua the
MVP, you mean?
Yeah, I don't get a vote. Obviously, not yet. I'm working my way up there to be able to get a vote in the situation soon. I'll keep you abreast of that situation, but it's funny. I believe if they could just play at a higher level for the first two or three quarters, they would never have to come back, and they'd be a very, very dangerous team.
Quite something. Well, there you have it. The NFL divisional is all set. The championship games are all set. Rams versus Seahawks, Patriots and Broncos. Quite interesting. We won't get his predictions yet because he's coming back later this week, Friday. With analysis and see what's going to happen. this weekend. Of course, maybe one of the games you might think maybe New England has more advantage, but you know, maybe not. Maybe Brett says, look, I look at the defense, they could stop these guys. I don't know. It could be out. Anyways, we got one more game tonight for the weekend. The Miami Hurricanes versus the Indiana Hoosiers. They got the national championship on the line. Indiana's favored by a lot, I think, according to Vegas. But, Brett, who do you have for tonight?
Yeah, I believe Indiana was favored by 7 the last I heard. I believe Indiana – it's funny. You talk in college, it's blue chippers. How many blue chip recruits are playing on my team? And I believe some of them were in the 50s, like the teams in the playoffs, whether it was Texas, Oklahoma, all these 50, 52, 35. They had 4. Indiana has 4 what they call blue chip actually signed recruits that are actually playing for the team. Obviously, Mendoza, you know, who was recruited at another school, but ended up in Indiana. The only crazy part about this game is first, you know, I'm born and raised. I'm here in South Florida. I'm in Palm Beach. I can't get down to the Rock. I'm not going down there today. But Miami at home with the throwbacks to everything from Schnellenberger to Jimmy Johnson to Coker to Dennis Erickson. Okay, you're talking about championship after championship after championship. I believe they have 6 or something total. I believe Miami has 6 championships. Would love to see the Cinderella story. I think Indiana is better at every position, well, not every position, but a ton of skill, key skill positions. But Miami has an NFL team. They have a huge offensive line and they have a huge defensive line. And everything goes through there. Their coach, obviously, a former offensive lineman for the Hurricanes. That's the only non-factor. Does Miami just come in and use that huge offensive line to run the ball? Use that huge defensive line to kind of put some pressure on Mendoza, and they're at home. I think that's a lot of the spread is very high, 7 for playing at home, just kind of being a home game. That being said, I'm going Indiana all the way. I'm going for the Cinderella. I want to see the Cinderella season come to fruition.
There you have it. I got Indiana too. I think they have a great year so far, undefeated, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if Miami pulls off an upset. But anyways, Brett, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you about this Friday?
My people, listen, reach out to me, SportsGuy369 across the board. SportsGuy369 across the board. Obviously, you can just hit me up on Facebook. I have a huge network already of people that throw information. I get stuff sent to me before I even get it on Adam Schefter getting it to me. People somehow,
I don't know what it is. Who it is?
Yeah, I have a couple people. My boy Shane is one of them. Shane, you are a master of throwing me info that even I did not have yet. But
you were
surprised.
Reach
out to me. I'd love to, you know, I was shocked at it. But the thing is, he came to me with Bo Nix before I heard anything. And I'm like, no, stop. You're full of it. There's no way. I saw him walk off the field. I saw him. And he knew before anybody. He let me know late last night, like right before, 10 minutes later, everybody else in the world let me know. But you know, Shane, you know, you are the man as far as information. But Brett Blair, Sports Guy 369, love to hear from the people.
And it's not Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants.
No, it's not Joe. And I are not on speaking terms right now. I don't think you should be playing. So Joe's not talking to me.
There you have it. You can reach us at the sportscast.net or the sportscast1 on Instagram and X. We'll be live tweeting tonight. Let's see what happens. You don't think the game will be done by halftime, huh?
No. I think it's a good game. I think that, like I said, that offensive and defensive line, I think that keeps them in the game. I see a 4-point game. I see like a 24-20 game, something like that. You know, I see, you know, everybody's going to put some points on the board. But in the end, I think this is going to be more of a defensive game. And again, 24-20. Mark it down, Indiana.
There you have it. Brett said it. Anyways, Brett, thanks for coming on. And this was your update.
Pleasure, guys.